Recording in progress.
Yes, yes. Today, welcome to the Watkins Award Show again with yours truly, TJ. And you know who? My right-hand man, hipster, Mr. J. Everett Pearsall. Now, Mr. Pearsall, how you doing today? What is going on with you today?
I am doing extremely well. I'm actually in Houston, Texas. We did a wonderful event yesterday for Vernon Broughton, the up-and-coming superstar at the University of Texas as a defensive tackle. We had an incredible event yesterday, and of course, wanted to make sure that my travel didn't interfere with my podcast. And so I'm still here in Houston, and I think next week you'll be in for a surprise, I won't tell you. But a wonderful day, wonderful event, incredibly invigorating.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, nothing surprises me with you. What are you going to do? You're going to be in Fiji? You're going to be in the Bahamas? I mean, look, whatever it is, from past experiences, nothing will surprise me. So let's just keep that straight right now. But look, today is an awesome day. It's not just because it's another great day given to us by the Creator. But it is a great day because, you know, I'm wearing my favorite shirt right now. You know, today I'm wearing my favorite shirt. Georgia. We're going to talk about that later. In the interim, you know, I got to get the fans prepared for the Watkins Award Show today. This is going to be an awesome day because, first of all, this is the 27th edition of the Watkins Award. 27.
Wow.
And today, oh my goodness. Oh, I just can't wait to talk about it. I know the audience is out there because trust me, it's out there. It's burning up the internet. The social network is on fire today. I mean, it's no doubt that we appreciate you listening to us today on BBS Radio. I mean, it's no doubt that we're happy that you have come by today. You know, and as Mr. J. Everett Pearsall has stated, he's in the great state of Texas. He's out there in Houston, of all places. I know he's ate well. I mean, look at the shirt that he has on. Just this bright, nice shirt. I mean, Mr. Pearsall, talk to me about that. Can someone get that shirt? Is there a place they can get that shirt?
The website is N as in Nancy, followed by 4A's.com, N-A-A-A-A.com. Not only do we have this shirt, we've got golf balls, we've got backpacks, we've got hoodies, and a whole lot more. We have an incredible allotment of Alliance merchandise that both I am purchasing, if I don't already have it, and anyone can go online right now and actually get their very own in their very own size.
So what you're telling me now, you do not have the exclusive on those shirts any longer. Is that what you that white shirt, that's a beautiful shirt. I must admit, it's a beautiful shirt. If you would lose a few pounds and get a smaller one, maybe I might, you know, take that from you. But clearly, if I be walking around in the street with that shirt on, people are going to say, oh, you wearing Pearsall clothes now, huh? That's what you're doing. So I don't want people to bust me out and say, how can you tell that I'm wearing Pearsall shirt? This is my shirt. No, that's the shirt he had on the show. So Pearsall, you mean I can get that shirt now in my own size?
You can get this shirt in your own size and a whole lot more.
So I can buy someone else a shirt, you know. Is that the only color? White? Because I love that white.
Black actually is the other color. So you can get white on black or black on white.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now you say there's some other merchandise I can get as well.
There is a plethora of merchandise that you can get as well. As I mentioned, we've got backpacks, we've got hoodies, we've got golf balls, we've got mugs, we've got all kinds of merchandise on the website. I challenge anyone in our listening audience, including yourself, to go on the website and take a look, because you can have your very own and stop lusting after mine.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take a look right now. I'm going to take a look right now and look at it while you and I are talking. But here's another thing. You know, I want to get in here real quick, because, you know, I always got to do this. I got to do my disclaimer today. I got to do my disclaimer, because there's going to be some people out there. Ooh, I know it's going. And you know what? I'm not going to forget the fact that I have said this before. There has been an individual who has trolled me, you know, over some time. It just didn't start because of this awesome show. It didn't just start because of this awesome show. It started when I told him, it wasn't a woman, it was a he, when I told him what I was looking for. And he said to me, I'll never forget, you're wasting your time looking for that kind of person. Where do you think you're going to find someone like that around here? Now, as a coach, I mean, you know what? I said, I'm going to have to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. So I am going to have to get into coaching in the great state of Georgia. And I'm going to have to show him that I too can help young men who don't have good athletic talent as a 9th or 10th grader, coach them up and get them recruited and ultimately in the Power 5 schools. Now, let me do a, you know, I always tell people, it's not about an athlete getting an opportunity to play sports. It's about that athlete getting a chance to get a free education. That's what it's all about. So I done been around. I don't care. Today I'm calling names. Don't get me mad. Send an email to or hit Mr. Pearsall up on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter at RealTTate. That's right. At Real today, I'm fired up. I am fired up. Everyone who called me today knew that something was going on, because I knew who I was getting ready to talk to today. Instagram, hit me up at Coach TT and the number 8. That's Instagram at TT and the number 8, because I'm on fire today. Don't mess with me today, ladies and gentlemen. So here's my disclaimer. The views and opinions of the Watkins Award Show are those of T. Tate and J. Everett Pearsall. He's willing to take the heat as well. He's willing to take it. He's been out here to Georgia a number of times. Can't even count them any longer. And I have had him down here on the end of the week, the beginning of the week, early in the morning, late at night, talking about this state. Now, there are 50 states and the District of Columbia, so I'm not going to forget the District of Columbia. I don't want to forget other places as well, but I'm talking about the 50 states and the District of Columbia. So with that said, we got players that can be recommended from any of the 50 states in the District of Columbia. Is that correct, Mr. Pearsall?
Absolutely correct.
Okay, so now, last week, you watched it. If you missed the show last week, or any show you want to listen to in the past, we had, and we was on it with Doug Dutch, who was here last week, who was from the District of Columbia. He was an academic All-American, ended up going to the University of Michigan. And so we want you to know that there are people who come directly from the District of Columbia Oh, by the way, Doug Dutch was a five-star. So let's not get it twisted, man. Let's not. D.C. is just not a basketball town, you know, and we've had some great baseball players come out. So I don't want to miss anyone who was a great basketball player, which I know plenty of them, who was a great baseball player, which I know a couple of them, and a great football player, which I know many of them as well. And Doug Dutch was our guy from last week. Now, I've done the disclaimer. Oh, and by the way, I don't want BBS Radio to get in trouble as well, so I'm going to do the disclaimer. Our views, don't call in the FCC and tell them we lying on, you know, these people who are coming on our show, these are robots or people not for real. Look here, I'm digging in today. I'm digging in today, Mr. Pierce. Now, the other thing I do want to do, I want to give credibility where credit is due. JMASolutions.com. I want people to know Exotic Car Sharing and Ward Law Office, Roscoe Jenkins Funeral Home, I mean, JC Lofton's Professional Alteration and Custom Tailoring, Auto Quick Lube, want to get a Magic Waste Valet. I want to talk about Joe's Crab Pie. I just happened to be in Eufaula, Alabama. I stopped by. I was hungry. So I stopped by, got me some. Man, you talking about something good. You talking about something good. And I also want to say, I found out somebody listened to our show in Dubai. In Dubai. So we being listened to all around the world. I know we being listened to in Asia and Japan, Tokyo. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So don't think we're just a show that's in the United States. We'll show all over. But now, let me get to the juggler here. Let me get to the juggler. So I just want you to know this. Today, we celebrate another one of my players, Pearson. Another one of my players from my great state of Georgia. Now, we talk about the Watkins Award all the time. All the time. But I'm going off the chain today. I dare somebody to call me or send your email. You send it to me first. Because you ain't gonna talk about my guy, Chris Burnett. You know, I didn't mention his name several times on this show. Several times his name has been mentioned on this show. And for those of you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and young men, young ladies, for joining us today. I have mentioned it. So if you haven't heard about us before, the Watkins Award is what, Mr. Pearson? What is the Watkins Award?
It is the premier, a.k.a. the top African-American scholar athlete in the country as a high school male going into their senior year. And again, this is nationwide.
Nationwide. That's from coast to coast.
Coast to coast.
Well, you know, there are some states like the state of Georgia that has been vilified. See, the education system, you know, is the lowest of the lowest. I mean, man, I'm getting hot right here, but I'm sweating underneath my armpits right now because I got the Chris juice. Burnett in the house. Oh, man, I'm on fire today. I'm on fire today. So this guy, Chris Burnett, I meet him when he was in high school. And what happened was I was talking to a gentleman who was a former All-American at the University of Georgia. I just happened to run into him, and unlike another coach, I told him what I was looking for. Now, this other coach told me I was crazy. Now, this guy said to me, after I told him what the Watkins Award was all about, he said to me, I got just the guy for you. I said, now where is he? He said, he's in Troup County, Georgia. I said, man, there's no athlete like that in Troup County, Georgia. He said, I got a guy that fit all the qualifications except for one. And I said, what's that? He said, the grade point average. You said that it had to be at least a 4.0. And I said, no. I said it has to be at least a 3.0. I mean, we'll get him in right under That barrier normally is 3.3, but if you're 3.0, we'll look at his community service. We'll do some other things. We'll see what his letters look like. He says, well, this guy doesn't have a 4.0. I say, okay, a 4.3. You know, I say a 4.5. You know, I say a 4.7. He says, no, sir. He says, this guy has a 5.1. Now, ladies and gentlemen, teachers, boys and girls, sit back, fasten your seatbelt, put on a bicycle helmet, because I know you'll start getting a concussion off of this. My God, the only, you know what, I've been telling everybody, and we'll talk about it later. What is it that this athlete has done that no other athlete, I don't care if you, I mean, okay, I'm not a racist. I don't want to, you know, because that's what people say when I say these words. There hasn't been another African-American. There hasn't been a Caucasian. There hasn't been an Asian. There hasn't been a Filipino. You name it. You go down the list. There hasn't been nobody else to do this. Nobody else. So here's what I'm saying. I got Chris Burnett. So Chris went, I mean, while he was at, he went to the University of Georgia. University of Georgia. Now, he went, he played offensive guard. He, now, when he was playing guard, he not only did he have Todd Gurley, not only did he have Todd Gurley, but he had our own Watkins Award honoree, Keith Marshall. Okay, now people can talk about, say, well, you know, Keith Marshall, one of his best friends was Ern Meyer. That was the quarterback at the time. Now, Ern is a great friend. I mean, the guy talks so high. Now, Chris, he was second team all SEC. Now, let's get it straight. The SEC is the most powerful conference in college football right now. I don't want to hear it. You can call me from wherever. Y'all, call me up. Call me right now. He made second team all SEC twice. He was captain of the football team. So he finished high school with a 5.1, as I said before. I'm going to say it again. We're going to get into the detail. But he's from LaGrange, Georgia, went to Troup County High School. Now, you can talk about the school system here in Georgia all you want. But I'm telling you what Chris Burnett did. That means he had all, wait, no, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. On my screen right now, ladies and gentlemen, right now, that's not a poster, that's not a picture. I got him live. I got in your presence, Mr. Chris Burnett. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. I'm doing much better now. After hearing that intro for you, Tyrone, you do the best job of hyping me up. You build my confidence every single time. So it's good to see y'all, brothers. I love you, Everett, Tyrone. Hey. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate it, but I can tell you, I can promise you that Mr. Pearsall got something up his sleeve. He going to try something after this hit. I'm raising the bar. But Chris, Let me start off how humbling it was when I first met you as a high school, when you was in high school. Man, I was blown out of the water. How humble you were. I mean, there's no doubt. Your whole family, everybody, God bless her soul. Mama was a beautiful lady. Boy, I tell you, but man, mama was something. Dad? Oh, he was the rock. So tell me, in the Burnett household, I ask the question all the time, but there's, again, in your household, what in the world was going on as far as academics was going? Your dad was a military guy. He wasn't no doctor or lawyer or professor at some big college. What's going on at the household?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, to your point, I think the household holds the most amount of credit for anything that I've accomplished, especially on the academic side. One, because I think my mom, you know, like you said, you know, she passed away in 2018. I miss her every single day. But I think she may have been as close to a genius as you could be without actually being one. So I inherited some good genetics. I think that's a big part of it. But also, she was just a huge advocate for reading and, you know, just trying to expand my knowledge base. And then you tie that with, like you mentioned, with my dad. You know, my dad, he'll tell you now, he's not the most academically inclined at all. He said he seed his way through high school and college and everything. But the discipline that he brought to the table of, you know, when you focus in on something, you do the best that you can, and you don't allow yourself to get distracted. So it was almost a combination of my mom's kind of advocacy for academics and education, and my dad's emphasis on discipline and also on education. Like he wanted us to be as excellent as we could. And then also, I think the last thing was probably just my competitive desire. I think you add those things together, and my, you know, wanting to just be better than people kind of inspired me to try to do my best throughout high school. And I never thought I'd have any type of special GPA or anything like that. I just wanted to, every time I took a test, every time I completed an assignment, I just wanted to do the best that I could. And it wound up turning out pretty good for me, at least in high school.
Okay, so help me now. Help me help the people, the millions of people. I didn't say the thousands, the millions of people who are watching this show. They got sons and daughters, and their sons and daughters are watching this as well. And you got a lot of just, you know, adults, coaches, football coach. You leave the eighth grade, go to the ninth grade. What in the world is on your mind? You know, most kids don't want to take all AP classes going to the ninth grade. They want to at least get a little opportunity to adjust to going to high school. What possessed you? What in the world possessed you, Chris?
You know what? This is actually the first time I've actually shared this, because that's a great question. The thing that inspired me to try to do that from day one was when I moved to Oregon. Like you mentioned, my dad was in the military. We moved all over the place. And right at the end of his military tenure, he joined Walmart, and we wound up moving to Oregon. And when we got there, I was in the first grade, and they decided to put me in a K-1 blend class. Not saying that this is a negative at all, but typically in those types of classes, it was kids who were kind of on the bridge. You know, they potentially could have stayed back, but, you know, they wanted them to kind of be in that environment to continue to learn their first grade schooling. And it was usually for those students who were bilingual, who were learning English as a second language. And I'll never forget this. I mean, I think I was 5 or 6 years old, and they had me in that class. I was the only Black kid in the entire school. And my parents went to the teacher and the principal and said, "This kid shouldn't be in this class. We know our son. He's probably smarter than anybody in here. He should be probably in third grade, not in a, you know, or fifth grade, not in this K-1 blend class." And at that point, I didn't think, you know, anything of it. But fast forward to my ninth grade year in high school, and I just remembered what my parents said about me and advocated about me to the teachers and the administration. It was that my son is smart enough to do this. He can face any challenge that he is put in front of him and accomplish it, and he can prove you wrong. So I think when I got into the ninth grade, that competitive fervor, you know, that discipline my dad gave me, the genetics my mom gave me, and kind of curiosity all kind of came together. And I said, I want to take whatever, you know, whatever the hardest thing y'all have is, that's what I want to take. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get an A. I'm going to have the best grade. Like, that was just my mindset. And it's crazy how that seed was planted when I was 5 or 6, and it kind of that it was watered over the period of time between then, and it started to grow to something pretty awesome throughout my high school years.
So on the football side, now when did football kick in? I mean, because obviously you understand the academic aspect, So when did football kick in, when you really started feeling that, hey, maybe I can really be a decent football player?
Yeah, that's a great, man, I love basketball. So growing up, you know, in Oregon, we're on the West Coast, it's the height of the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq. All I did was watch basketball. I could not care less about football. I thought I was going to be Shaq. I thought I'd be 7 feet tall, you know, all types of things I was imagining in my future that didn't happen. So football was not on my radar. But my brother, my older brother, he's 5 years older, he played football. And, you know, I started to gain a little bit of interest in it. So in the fifth grade, I asked my dad, I was like, can I play football? He said, yes. And when I joined the team, I remember being upset because in Troop County football and their school system in the rec league, if you were over a certain weight limit, I think it was 125 pounds or something like that, you had to have a red stripe of tape on your helmet and you basically couldn't carry the ball. And I remember learning that right before our first practice. And I was so upset because, you know, I had visions of, you know, being like my brother, you know, being someone who carried the ball. He was a running back and he made a lot of big plays and all this stuff. So I'm finding out at the moment before practice, I'm a lineman. And I just got angry. And the very first practice, I was just running through everybody. I mean, just destroying everybody. From the first day, I'd never played football before, but I was channeling that anger. And the fact that I was so big and we were doing all these drills and I just, you know, was a natural at it. And I think in that moment, I didn't know that that would lead to, you know, me having an opportunity to be, you know, an All-American or anything like that. But I think as the years progressed, I always saw myself as kind of a step above the rest of my peers. And I just started to see, okay, if I really want to do this well, I need to continue to work for it. And I think over time, it really took to about my 9th or 10th grade year in high school for me to feel like, okay, I think I can play at the next level. But I just never thought it would, you know, wind up landing me at Georgia, my dream school. I thought I may go to a smaller school and, you know, have a solid time there. But, you know, God just had bigger plans for me, and I'm grateful for it.
Well, I got to get it out because I know people trying to figure what am I saying or what am I trying to say in regard to you being the only student athlete to ever accomplish this. And so I don't want them to get it twisted because we didn't say it a couple of things. Let's get it straight. You are a Watkins Award honoree. You are a Watkins Award honoree. 2009, as a matter of fact, with Jamal Rashad Patterson, who was on that squad as well.
That's right.
So you, what you have done is that you were a five-star athlete who just happened to have a 5.1 GPA. I dare somebody to call J. Everett Pearsall up and tell him that I'm telling a lie. That this man, you can go online, pull it up, the University of Georgia got, so you're going to call the University of Georgia a lie as well. That's what I'm going to make you do. That's what I'm going to make you do. But you become a five-star and pull off a 5.1 GPA. So now my question is, your senior year, okay, you could have gone to any college in America academically. You, Stanford, Princeton, Harvard, let's get it straight there. Or you could have went to Alabama State, you know, you could have went to Howard or Hampton. You know, I don't want to leave no HBCUs out. I don't want to leave those schools out because I know your heart. I know your heart. And I'm going to say something about something you did as well. But what in the world is going through your mind your senior year and you taking the hardest class? Most people cruising their senior year. They just taking a few little, everybody always talking, I just took this, you know, so I can have. Man, you still humping. You got the hardest classes, and then you had I shouldn't say you had nerve enough. I had nerve enough to, I almost fainted, man. I almost fainted. I asked you, what did you want to, I said, Chris, what do you want to major in? And you looked at me and said, Mr. Tate, I want to major in physics. What is going through your mind your senior year, Chris? Talk to us. Talk to us, baby.
Yeah. You know, my senior year, it was the best year. It was one of the best years of my life, honestly, because I think it was where it was a culmination of a lot of hard work. And it was me listening to the guidance of my dad still. Going into that last year, I was originally supposed to go early to Georgia. So I was supposed to graduate at the end of December and enroll at Georgia in January. And that was the plan. Like, it was always the plan going into that year. But my dad was like, you know what, Chris, like, you've done a lot up until this point. You have a lot of things on the table. You're going to go to Georgia. Hopefully you'll make it to the NFL. You know, you're doing really well in school. And he was like, these are the best years of your life. And I don't want you to try to speed up the next phase that you'll get into, because it's going to be fun, but it's also going to be work. And he encouraged me to just lean into my last year of high school as if it was my last year and not, you know, try to supercharge it or kind of relax and coast through it. Right. So I continued to take the difficult classes really as a preparation, because I wanted to get to Georgia and be able to graduate early. But also because I made that decision, like, if I didn't do this, I probably regret it. And if I left early, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to be either valedictorian or salutatorian of my high school. So because of that, decided to stay. And I think the thing he encouraged me was that when it's all said and done, what I'll be able to tell my kids and what I'll be able to encourage other kids who were similar, who were my peers, is that it wasn't just about accomplishments. It was about always getting better the next day. And I felt like the only way to always get better the next day is to challenge myself. And, you know, that's why I wanted to kind of finish the drill, as they say, at Georgia, while I was there in high school. And I don't regret it at one, like, not one bit. Like, I think that was the wisest thing for me to do. And my dad, you know, he owns all the credit for it. Like, I'm just so grateful just for the parents that I was blessed with. I had nothing to do with being blessed with the mom and dad and the brother and sister that I have. And it's just been so, it's molded me, and it's allowed me to even be where I am today. And there's so much more I know the Lord has in store, but, you know, without them, I wouldn't have done what I've done in the past at all. So.
Well, you know, there's so much I could talk about, but, you know I got to pass you over to Mr. Pearsall, but I do want to say, I want to thank you, because I know one particular time I had you to come to a prep school and you had no problem coming and talking to those kids. I mean, you just came and talked to those guys. But I know everybody want to ask this question, so I do have to ask this one question. Now, when you graduated from Georgia, you had your MBA, correct?
Yes.
That's okay, right. So we want to make it clear that he not only went and got and finished playing football, but by the time he finished his athletic eligibility, he had his MBA. So don't get it twisted. But here's the last question I'm going to ask. When you got your first B, what was going through your, because I was up on that campus, man, and I heard that story. I was scared to come and see you, man.
I was so distraught, Tyrone, because the class that I got the B in was probably the easiest class that I had taken in 5 years. It was a public speaking class. And I've done public speaking a million times. But the teacher, so the professor was a TA, and we would always have to kind of write out a status of what we were going to talk about. Like, we do an outline, and we try to write it down almost verbatim of what we would say and discuss. And I would get up there in front of the class, And I say, you know, I have my outline, but I want to actually be authentic. And if I need to make a detour, I'm going to make a detour. And so I would do that all the time in my public speaking class. And he was docking me. I didn't even notice. He was docking me points every single time I didn't stick to my script. So that was the first B that I got. And I remember being so mad and like, it was frustrating, but at the same time, I said, you know what? There's a lesson learned in this that you can't be perfect, but also you need to follow the instructions that are given to you. So, you know, it was a difficult pill to swallow, but I think it taught me some lessons for sure.
Well, one of your players pointed you out to me. They said, "Oh, Chris over here got that beat. He don't want to talk to you right now." I said, I'm going to track him down. Mr. Bearsaw, he's all yours now, Mr. Bearsaw. AKA what? What is he, Mr. Bearsaw?
Christopher Burnett, AKA Big Chris, AKA Big C, AKA CB, AKA Big Rev, AKA Mr. Burnett, AKA Mr. LaGrange, AKA Minister of Office, AKA Guardian Angel, AKA Bulldog from Birth, AKA CB 5.0. Now, Chris, welcome to the show, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I love it. See, y'all make me feel like good about myself. I love talking to y'all. That makes me smile internally.
Now we only speak the gospel. There's nothing that we say that is not true. I have a lot of people every day that send me information. They text me, they call me, and they tell me I got a guy. Now, when Tyrone calls me and say, "I got a guy," it means just a little more because he really understands what we're looking for when you talk about the Watkins Award. But not only does he say, "I got a guy," he says, "You got to fly down here right now because we got to go see this guy." So I fly down to Atlanta and then we're driving, but you know, we're not going into Atlanta. You know, we're traveling south and we're driving. Then we get off the highway and we begin to bob and weave into the back roads of LaGrange. And then we pull into the neighborhood. I see the driveway that goes down and boom, University of Georgia stuff all over the place. And so I'm like, okay, right. Where am I going? We see, we got some Georgia fans here. But again, when I come into your home to introduce you to the Watkins Award some time ago, back in 2008, 2009, I have a great opportunity to meet your mom and your dad, who incredible people, and really embraced the concept of what the Watkins was about. And then I talked to you about it, and I saw the look in your eye, having not known much about it at the time, essentially say, you know what, this award is really about me, you know, and understanding that, you know, the things that you've done up until that time, just in high school, really were symbolic of what the Watkins Award was built for. And so when I talk about the fact that we like to meet people where they are, and we have people in our listening audience all over the world, and they really have their own challenges. The first question I have to ask you, as you know, I've seen Tyrone just sweating profusely before the show, just ready to get you on here. He said, "This is my guy. This is my guy. When are we going to have Chris on?" A 5.1 grade point average, top football player in the nation. Tell me some of the obstacles that you had to overcome, let's say in LaGrange, where people in the city may have one thing that they have to go through. Perhaps it's the same, perhaps it's not. What are some of the obstacles you had to overcome living in and coming up in LaGrange, and you know, some of the things that you had to do to overcome them?
Yeah, that's a great question, Everett. I think there were two things that stood out as far as obstacles that I had to overcome that I don't think I realized at the time, but my parents realized it, and they were kind of, you know, sheltering me from it, but also informing me. And I didn't believe it until I became an adult and actually started to think through it and say, okay, you're right. I think the first one might've been a little bit of just distraction that came from any and everybody in any and every way that you can think of, whether it be teammates wanting me to not focus in on school and do other stuff, or, you know, girls, you know, fighting for your attention because they think you're going to become something in the future. Or even honestly, people in school and administration who would be pulling me in different ways, different directions. They pull me out of class all the time. It's like, hey, like, what do you think about this? Hey, can you help me with this? Hey, can you just go to the store and get this for me? We know you'll be fine in class. So I felt like those distractions, I had to kind of handle those punches and figure out how I could still get my work done and still learn the way that I needed to without all the exposure that I typically would get, and just kind of push through that. And also, I think, honestly, I did not understand or see this at all, but I think there may have been a little bit of prejudice within some of the school system, whether it be an administration in the city, in the county, or even with individual teachers, who were almost kind of going out of their way, it seemed, when they found out that I hadn't ever made a B, in certain times to find ways to kind of nick me for points, whether it be on tests, wow, assignments, stuff like that. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, you know, maybe it was a mistake. And I would always go talk to them, and normally they would resolve it. But my parents truly felt like it was intentional. And if I were to just kind of let it slide, it would have never been resolved. And honestly, I hadn't really shared this publicly, but coming out of high school, you know, I was named the salutatorian, which y'all know is, the second person in your class, when no one had a higher GPA than me. Like, it wasn't even close. Wow. But they, for whatever reason, that year decided to make a rule that if you had a GPA that was within a certain range, they would also take into account your SAT score. And if your SAT score was lower than this other person who had a similar range, they would be the valedictorian. And this rule did not exist until I became a senior. I took the SAT one time. I think I got a 1330 on the 1600 scale. And I was like, I don't need to take this again. Like, I know where I'm going. I'm going to Georgia. I don't need to go back and retake the test. That's good enough for me. And my peers who were focusing on school, they were taking it multiple times. And so they would wind up having higher scores than me, maybe 1400, 1500, something like that. So I lost out on being valedictorian because of a formality, a rule that was created my senior year. And at the time, my parents were ready to fight it. Like, they were like, this is ridiculous. Like, there's no way that they're going to just change the rule. And I was like, you know what? Like, this may be the only thing that this is probably arrogant of me, but this may be the only thing that this other person accomplishes in their life. Like, I got plenty of other stuff I'm going to do. So I didn't fight it. And I'm grateful just for my parents and their advocacy, the fact that they cared enough. But also just their willingness to be honest with me and help me to see the truth. But, you know, that was just one of those things. Like, those were some of the, hurdles I had to kind of deal with and handle, you know, in LaGrange.
Oh, man, great, great, great story. And again, you got cheated, okay? Say what it is. I know you're trying to be humble. You got cheated. They took it from you. They stole. Yeah. At any rate, moving forward, obviously, you showed them that they made the wrong decision there. And certainly, you would have been the best representation of, the valedictorian of that class. Now, we don't get a lot of people that know where they want to school, go to school at birth, if you want to call it that. Tell me the fulfillment of being able to go to University of Georgia, just being such an advocate of the university and wanting to be there. Tell me an idea of the fulfillment.
Yeah, I see that. I saw that, Tyrone. As soon as I hopped on, I was like, I love it. I knew you would represent. But I, you know, since birth is probably really accurate, Everett, which is crazy to even say. I feel like there was a small segment of time when I kind of considered Georgia Tech. This is kind of crazy to even say because of my interest in physics, Tyrone. You know, I wound up not doing that, obviously, when I went to Georgia, did finance instead. But because of my interest in that, I had a small period in middle school where I was like, oh, man, I might want to go to Georgia Tech. But I love Georgia because my family did. You know, my grandparents, my dad, my brother, they all love Georgia. And I started to kind of learn about college football right when I started playing football myself. 2002, that's when, you know, Mark Richt had led Georgia to an SEC championship. And I just love the colors. You know, when you're 10 years old, 11 years old, you love stuff like that. You love the colors. You love the mascot. Think that's cool. But also, I just was very intrigued by the person of Mark Richt, who he was, especially as I began to kind of develop and mature and actually came into faith in my own. I started to just really get drawn to not just the school, but the person that I felt represented the school the best. And I remember I went to a camp after my freshman year, and I wasn't yet a Christian. You know, my mom had been pouring that into me, but we weren't really going to church consistently. I didn't understand who the Lord was. I didn't know Jesus. But I went to that camp, and I knew Mark Richt was a Christian. And I knew that while I was there, they would have some type of Christian event. And when they had a Christian event, it was called FCA, and they had it after one of the camps, after one of the sessions of practice at the camp. And someone shared the gospel. They gave out little Bibles. I read through the gospels that night. I didn't become a Christian that day, but it was like a moment that changed me. I was like, man, this really started to pique my curiosity. And I think when that moment happened and I felt something start to shift in my heart and in my soul, I was like, this is where I need to be. Because not only will I be, you know, the best football player I can be and accomplish all these goals that I have for myself, but I feel like I'll be a better person. So it felt like from the genesis, like the Lord had planted that seed. But I do feel like that moment in 2005, you know, being there on campus, hearing the gospel, reading the gospels, understanding or not fully understanding, but at least reading the word for the first time, it was like, I have to be here. Like, it doesn't matter what happens in my life. I got to find a way, you know, to make my way to Athens.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Incredible. Good story. Now, you know, through this journey, obviously, there are always challenges. There are always times where you have to look in the mirror and say, you know, how am I going to go left? Am I going to go right? You know, since we met you at the age of 17, 18, and even through college, through your brief stint in the NFL and then in your professional career, give us an idea of what the Watkins Award has meant to you.
It's meant so much. You know, I will be honest. When I was 17, 18, I did not understand what this was. I did not appreciate fully what this was. The work, Everett, that you have put into creating this, Tyrone, the work that you have put in creating this, and the way that you guys have handled yourselves and promoted this, I did not understand it. You know, I felt like it was cool. I was like, oh, yeah, that's nice. Like, I'm glad that this exists. But I didn't have the proper context of not only American history, but Black history in America to understand the significance and the importance of stuff like this. And Watkins has really created a brotherhood for me outside of academics, outside of sports, outside of professional experience. Like Muhammad. You know, knowing him, meeting him when I came to Georgia, and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, what's up, Watkins? Like, that created something in me that made me feel like I belonged. That made a moment and a mark in my life. And then for me to be able to reciprocate that with Keith when he came on campus, it was something that was bigger than me. And then also the relationships that I have with the guys that I came in with, Jamal, Jelani, you know, Jamari, et cetera. Like, it's something special to not only have that built-in camaraderie and connection, you know, and then being able to meet, you know, Gerald McCoy when I was there in L.A., and then to reconnect with him in Tampa, and just remembering him and his connection with my mom, and so much bigger than me. And I'm just grateful that the Watkins Award and what y'all do exists. Because it not only shines a light on Black excellence, but I think it helps connect us, it helps draw us together, and it continues to push our culture and our community forward. And we need more like it. We need more light shone on the Watkins Award. And honestly, I take responsibility for not being as involved as I should and could be, because it's unbelievable. It's incredible. It's been a life changer for me, I think. And it helped me to see that I wasn't alone. When I was coming out of high school, I thought that there weren't anybody else who took athletics and schooling seriously, and also tried to be someone who was a person of positivity in the community. And I was able to meet six guys who were just like me immediately, and then see it was bigger than us six. It was 600, 6,000, you know, and it's amazing, you know, what y'all have done. And honestly, just being connected with y'all still, even to this day, this much longer after the time that we met at my parents' house, it reiterates that, and it makes me want to do more to kind of help promote and support y'all as this thing continues to grow and evolve.
Excellent. Oh, thank you so much. Those kind words continue to inspire us as we continue to move forward, you know, with the Watkins Award and this effort and making sure that, you know, individuals like you, you know, get recognized, more importantly, that other people see your accomplishments and really strive for them. What are some of the great things that you're doing now? Obviously, I remember as we went through Georgia, getting out there to see you at the cocktail party. Never missed the Georgia-Florida game. I remember you going down there and actually getting a chance to mix it up at the next level in the NFL. And you did a lot of things in the community when you were there as well. But give our listening audience an idea of some of the things that you're doing right now real quick.
Yeah. I'll do it as quickly as I can. So currently, I'm working for Chick-fil-A Corporate at their support center. I'm working in new restaurant development. And it's a dream job. I love what I do. You know, I do the help with the site selection and basically opening up new restaurants in the Northeast region, specifically in New York City, the boroughs, upstate New York, and New England. And it's just a perfect mix of, you know, community building, growth and development, the finance work, and there's a little bit of engineering tied into that too. So it feel like I'm scratching all my itches all at once, and I love it. It was a dream of my mom's for me to be at Chick-fil-A. And, you know, upon her passing, I was like, I got to make it every effort I can to get there. And clearly mom knows best, because this is exactly where I was called and supposed to be. And then outside of that, personally, been married to my wife 8 years now, and we're actually expecting our first child in January.
Wow!
About to be a dad.
Grow the Watkins family, baby. So at this point, I'll turn you back over to Coach Tate.
Well, you know, I'm blown out of the water right now. I mean, just hearing all the great stuff that Chris was responding to your awesome questions, Everett. So I just want to tell you, thank you so much, Chris, for your time. I mean, clearly, if someone wants to keep up with you, how can they keep up? What's your handle, you know, your Twitter handle and all that kind of stuff?
I try to keep it simple. So I'm at ChrisBurnett68 on all social media platforms. I really try to stick to just Twitter and Instagram. Everything else, I feel like I get too distracted. But ChrisBurnett68 is where people will find me.
Well, thanks again, and I wanna put out a special thank you to George Brewer, which was the guy who introduced me to you, told me everything, you know. And I wanna thank, you know, Dr. Elder Watson Diggs, because, you know, without him, I wouldn't have known George Brewer. So hey. All I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you got Coach T. Tate, you got J. Everett Pearsall. I'm wearing my Georgia shirt. You know, clearly, we do want to thank Coach Mark Rick, because, oh, a beautiful Christian man. You know, I can't say enough about him, but you said it. And we just want to thank everybody for watching today. You heard it from him personally, Chris Burnett. 5.1 GPA. This is the Watkins Award Show with J. Everett Pearsall and T. Tate and Chris Burnett. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks, Chris. Congratulations to you and the family.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I love y'all both.
Tell the wife I said hello. Tell that wife I said hello.
Yes, sir.
Okay. See you later.
All you gotta do is put your mind to it.